Sniff, that is such a great Santa hat. Can I wear it, please?
I don't know. Have you seen Santa, Micah?
Yeah, I've seen Santa. What's the problem?
I guess you could wear it. I mean, Santa is a dude and I'm wearing the hat, so it's all yours, man.
No, you know what? You know what? If you're just going to think of me as Black Santa and not just normal Santa, then I don't even want the hat. Just forget it.
Oh, I wasn't thinking that. I really wasn't. But you know who was?
Michael Scott. Oh, boy. We have reached another episode, folks. Another holiday episode. It is
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
It's Christmas in July for us, really.
Yes. It's a little too warm for Christmas here with me. This is Christmas Party. It is season 2, episode 10 of The Office, and yet again, we have another festive episode that starts with a cold open involving a gigantic tree.
Why did you get it so big?
That's what she said. I was just like waiting for that moment to happen because I remembered this cold open, and so it's just like, when does he say it? When does he say it? When does he say it? And it didn't, that part doesn't even happen until after the cold open, but shortly after that, Michael says that he's going to sell a tree to charity, and it's just like the top of the tree.
Oh, the spirit of Christmas right there. One little sentence, right?
Hilarious. I wonder, that is probably an improv'd line. Like, selling to charity is something that Michael would say, but mm-hmm. I don't feel like it's something that would get automatically built into a script.
Yeah, this episode is so full of great quotes. It's really, really densely packed with a lot of great funny things, funny moments. I love that Kevin's chopping the extra part of the tree off with a paper cutter. Like,
yes!
He's just sitting there putting it up and down, trying to get it off. They have the tiny top of the tree. Just every little moment about it is so The Office, and it's wonderful.
I don't know if you remember using those in school, but for yep. me, like, they're notoriously dull most of the time.
They so really are.
Can you imagine trying to cut through a juniper tree or whatever, whichever version of Christmas tree that is with a dull paper cutter? Hilarious.
My dad had one in his office and it literally couldn't cut through like 4 sheets of paper at the same time. And like even one sheet, it would like kind of like bend it.
Move
like,
the
it
paper down. Yeah.
Yeah.
My great granddad had one as well. It was the same thing. It's like, I just use scissors, doggone it. That's hilarious. What I like about this episode too is we get to see everybody going around and revealing what Christmas gifts they got for everybody in Secret Santa. And
yeah.
those are just more sort of taste of moments for the characters, just like the Halloween episode, like how people dressed up. Here we have how people gift for the holidays and mm-hmm. what they sort of think of other characters, or rather other people who work with them. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I love these little moments. So telling, so dense. They're all like little gifts to us, the audience, right? Like,
yes.
It is wonderful, like all wrapped up nice that we get to see all these characters. And we're really seeing between the last episode, the email surveillance that we talked about last week, and this episode, it's starting to reveal all the little characters, you know, the smaller, minor characters. We're starting to see them coming up into more of the main view. You know, it's not just Michael, Dwight, Jim, and Pam. We're getting more of Phyllis. We're getting more of Meredith. Like, we're seeing, and Creed. Creed is a big
yes.
role, bigger role in this one. And I love that we're getting all of those little sides of things, because it really, as the season goes on and as these episodes go on, all of these characters really come up into a big, wonderful cast that is so collaborative. And we're finally seeing all of these minor characters start rising in the ranks of our attention.
Yes. And I love that. I mean, it's about doggone time that we get mm-hmm. to see more, because there are so many good characters. Like, this show goes from a place where we've got, you know, a couple central characters or a few central characters who really sort of lead the show, into this where there's so much good, so much hilariousness from all of these different people, and they all add to it. The whole sort of overarching theme in this show, or the plot of this, is all based around a couple things. It is the Christmas party, and Angela, mm-hmm. being head of the party planning committee, is trying to hold a party. At the same time, Michael got a bonus because he saved the company money by firing an employee. Mm-hmm. And then we have the Secret Santa thing going on. So Michael introduces a wrinkle into probably Angela's forehead as well as to the party by coming in and throwing down a bunch of money and saying, make this party extra awesome because I have this extra money to do that. So you should just make this thing great. And so he's like, double everything, double this, double that. And you already can see things like it starts going off the rails almost immediately. And poor Angela is trying to deal with that, that happening.
So we also find out Michael goes off the rails a little bit about the gift that he buys. So we find out in the confessionals, like all the little things that people are getting each other. Oscar doesn't know anything about Creed, except for he might be Irish. And there's a Kevin got himself in the Secret Santa and didn't tell anybody because he just wanted to buy a gift for himself. And we find out that Jim got Pam for the very first time in Secret Santa, and he gets her the most thoughtful, wonderful gift filled with even more thoughtful little memories. Yes. Inside.
This is my style of present. Like, these are the presents that I give out. Like, this down to the whole, like, stuffing something with a bunch of little things that are just between the other person of me. So, like, mm-hmm. This makes me smile so big. It's one of the times where I actually do like the Jim and Pam relationship because, yes, I'm that very strange office super fanatic who doesn't much care about the Pam and Jim relationship. But this is a moment where I'm like, I love you guys!
They are. It's just so thoughtful. I mean, saving little trinkets from events that happened or inside jokes. It's just great that he fills this teapot that he gets her with all of these things. So in contrast to Jim's incredibly thoughtful gift that he's preparing for Pam, we see Michael going kind of in the other direction where he decides to get like an extraordinary gift and blow the $20 limit. And he puts in stock, like the stock of his gift, he says like it's what money can buy is how much you care about someone, is how much money you spend on them, which really isn't true. It is not the spirit of Christmas. But again, he's throwing money around for an advance, like for even more party. And he's throwing money around in this crazy gift because he got Ryan. And as we know, he has certain strange feelings about Ryan, which they're not romantic. They're not. It's more like he wants to be him because he sees him as like a cool guy, even though we've seen Ryan just be like kind of, you know, introverted and like standoffish, not very good at his job. Like, we haven't really seen Ryan shine in any way to tell us why Michael might admire him so much.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. I guess I hadn't really thought about that. And it's again, Michael finds these little dog bones, to mm-hmm. latch onto. And maybe sometimes that stuff doesn't necessarily happen like in our frame of reference and we just have to sort of go along with it. But, I want to go down just to talk a little bit about, mm-hmm. the different things. Creed gets Jim an old shirt that definitely came from his closet.
That funny little fact about that one. The previous episode that we talked about at Jim's party, uh-huh. Creed was wearing that shirt.
No way.
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And then he gives it to him. And I love it. In the confessional, Jim is like, it looks like he just took an old shirt and he totally forgot that there was a Secret Santa and he put it in a bag and he gave it to me. And then they shoot right over to Creed in his confessional. And he was like, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Oh, that's fantastic. I did not even realize that. Oh, yeah, man, that's good.
They do funny little things like that all the time. And I really like the background hints of things, and sometimes it messes up some of the continuity of the show, but those little gems that are in there that really follow the through line all the way, it's they're wonderful.
Yes. A couple of the other things. Toby gets Angela a poster with babies on it because the ongoing joke or sort of thing about Angela is that she loves these little, I remember my grandma having one in her bathroom, in one of the bathrooms in her house. It's like photos of little babies dressed up in little outfits. And,
it's so weird.
It's very strange. Hers had like a bunch of babies of different, skin tones dressed up as vegetables. And so they looked like a bountiful harvest. And it's like, that's creepy because the insinuation there is that you're going to eat these little babies like vegetables.
Well, it's a famous artist that does them,
really?
Right? Like, or originated them. Yeah. I just watched that episode in Friends to talk about another show. that it comes up in Friends that someone hangs it up on the wall. But yeah, it's a pretty, I don't know who it is. Sorry, whoever you are, artist who makes baby photos, but yeah, it's quite a thing.
Yeah, I don't get it. But, you know, Toby knows Angela enough to know that she likes those.
Yeah, it's showing who knows each other and who doesn't, right? Like, exactly. Toby obviously knows what Angela likes, like, really well. And, you know, Creed obviously doesn't care about anyone.
Right. I was impressed with Kelly because she got Oscar a shower radio. And
yeah,
that, like, you would expect Kelly to be sort of selfish and maybe not think about what the other person could get or go for something that is like generally liked by anybody. And she did. She got something that, you know, I think would have easily applied to anybody to mm-hmm. have, but she could have done the opposite. And then like the person would have just said, I don't really want this. Do you just want it back? So she didn't do that, which was nice. And my thoughts are that the most thoughtful and sweet gift, Phyllis, sweet, sweet Phyllis, who got tiny, tiny LED lights for the Christmas tree. And so they didn't light up the tree very well and made Angela mad. She hand knits Michael an oven mitt.
Yeah, I think that's super thoughtful. Handmade gifts are so thoughtful. And Michael is so incredibly rude.
Yep.
To Phyllis when he gets this gift, because he's comparing it to his earlier gift. We didn't actually mention what Michael blows all of his money on. He buys a video iPod for Ryan.
And this is back when the video iPod was brand new. These are expensive. Yeah.
So what was it, $400? Because yeah, he leaves like the price on, like a classy, classy guy he is.
That part just, that makes my skin crawl. Whenever he says the price is left on, my skin was crawling.
Oh, and he's like, oh, that's still on there? Oh my goodness.
God, it's terrible. It's so terrible.
It's so terrible. But what's even more terrible is his reaction to Phyllis's thoughtful gift. And it just kind of crushes her. He's so rude and he's so hurtful. And he even like storms out like a petulant child, and he tells the camera that like, oh, I don't want this crappy gift because I gave an iPod and I gave this big thing and I spent all this money. And it's like, he is, I don't know what happened to him at Christmas time. He's just making this so out of, like, he's just going crazy on it. It's just, he's just absolutely losing it.
I really think like it's two things. One is him wanting to, impress other people and sort of really stand out as you know, being awesome and making people feel good. And then because he has this very narrow view of what, like, of where these things come from, he doesn't understand the value and the kindness and the awesomeness that is a hand-knitted object. And so he, in one side, is like being very giving and very caring, but also a little selfish and trying to show off. And then on the other side, he's being super shallow about things and not understanding that it goes beyond the price of something. And like, it's ultimately his fault in the first place, because they very clearly set up rules and he decided to just break the rules, and he can't hold anybody else responsible for that. But he does, and he hurts mm-hmm. a person who did not deserve to be hurt because she took a lot of time on it.
Yeah, and he even goes as far as to now that he doesn't like the game anymore that is being played, which was just Secret Santa, and he decides to change the game to Yankee Swap, which everyone is kind of like, no, well, we all bought specific presents, because in the game of Yankee Swap, you kind of, it's supposed to be played with random presents. Yankee Swap! And it's supposed to be played with, like, generic presents, really, that you just kind of, you don't really know who's going to be at a party and you want to do a small exchange. And there's different ways to play it, but it's also been called White Elephant. One person in the show even mentions Nasty Christmas. So Michael changes this game on everyone, and everyone is not into it. They don't want to do it, but he's the only one who does, because he wants to unload the oven mitt and get everyone riled up, I guess, about the iPod. I don't know. I think it's mainly just to unload the oven mitt, which is pretty sad, because just accept it and be say thank you. And if you don't want to use it, like, you know, be a grown up. Like, come on. But what ends up happening is all the presents get switched around, and Pam gives up the teapot for the iPod. Mm-hmm. And Jim is so hurt by that, because Pam's so excited about the iPod, but she just gave up this present that she didn't really know what was inside because Jim never got a chance to actually explain it to her.
Yeah, and like that's exactly it. On the face of it, it's just a teapot, and you don't, I mean, I think if I was looking at teapot versus video iPod, I'm going to go for the video iPod, especially for playing Yankee Swap. and it's like in the spirit of this horrible game. When our family played it, we would always get terrible gifts. Like it was supposed to be purposely jokey gifts that nobody would really want as opposed. And it was what stunk is that we never, this is going to sound terrible of our family, but like we didn't want to exclude my great grandparents, but my great grandparents never got the concept of getting a cruddy gift or a funny gift. And so they would always get something, you know, really good. And then they would play and then they would be upset whenever they got, like one year, my great grandma got a disguise kit with it was like a wig and an eyeglasses. And she had no idea what, like, why am I getting this when I brought a video iPod? So yeah, that's a terrible time. But anyway, yeah, Pam gets into the spirit of the game and she's trading along with everybody, but Jim is upset about it. He didn't explain that, like, or he tries to explain, but Dwight, I guess, moves them along. So it all just goes south because no one's happy now. Everybody is upset.
Yeah. Basically, everyone is left hurt. And Michael he finally gets rid of the oven mitt by using reverse psychology, which is totally BS because he was talking up like, oh, who wants this oven mitt? I don't. And Meredith looks over at Phyllis and sees Phyllis's crushed face. And she has empathy for her and says, okay, I'll take the oven mitt, which I think is a super nice thing to do. And I feel like a lot of the people in this office, especially when we're seeing the gifts that they're getting each other, that they all really care about each other. I mean, it's a small group of people that are spending all day together. They've been together for years in this environment, and they really do care, and they don't want to see each other hurt. But Michael is just so, and then after he gets rid of the oven mitt, he's like, aha, I got rid of it. Now I'm going to take, you know, something else. And he gets another present. And again, it's not good enough for him. Nothing is ever good enough for Michael in this day. He is mean. He is selfish. And in this episode, he's showing his absolute worst self. And I don't like it. It's terrible.
Yeah. This episode makes me sad. And it is one of those episodes where you want to see Michael lose as much as possible because he's just not being great. And I don't know, maybe something bad happened to him on multiple Christmases as a kid because we'll get to those eventually, but he's never that great on Christmas. he's not great on Christmas. So we see him basically ruin everything and he kind of walks away or goes away for a little while. And we don't necessarily know where he's going, but while he's gone, everybody in the office is just sort of trying to make things happen, trying to still have a good time, trying to enjoy themselves. And this is where we meet Bob Vance, Vance Refrigeration, which is nice. We finally get to meet him.
And he's introduced as Phyllis's boyfriend. Yeah. So it's really nice that we get to see Phyllis bring someone who she cares about into the office. And it turns out it's Bob Vance. And he introduces himself around in a very funny way. We also find out that Dwight ends up with a teapot, by the way.
Yes.
And we find out that Dwight's plan is to basically use it as a neti pot. And he explains this to Jim. And Jim's face in the confessional, his eyes are like watery and he's teary-eyed thinking about Dwight using this gift like that he had bought for Pam. Because as we saw in the beginning, I forgot if we mentioned it to each other right now, but there was a special note put into that box.
Yep.
And Jim mentions as he's putting the note in after explaining all the little trinkets that are going inside, kind of some of the meaning behind some of them. He says to us that, let me get the right quote, that because Christmas is the time to tell people how you feel. And he puts this note into the box. So I feel like Jim has a lot of weight put onto this gift and seeing Dwight possibly wanting to use it and maybe even like reading that note, throwing it away, throwing away all the little things inside and dumping water into his nose with it. It's kind of really crushing Jim because I feel like he put his entire heart into that gift And now Dwight is pouring it into his nose. Do you notice that, like, the glossy look to his eyes in that confessional? Just kills me. It does.
Yeah, I didn't notice that because I sort of saw him more being angry about it, but I didn't know that it hurt him that bad. That would make me feel even worse about this episode. I'm glad
everyone's kind of walking away a little bit hurt. Like, and we're only midway through, though. We're only midway through because Michael rushed out to,
yes,
I guess, save the party in his way.
Yeah, this is him sort of realizing that he's done bad things and that the mm-hmm. party needs to be saved.
So before Michael gets back, we find out that Roy is a jerk again. Surprise. And Roy and Pam have a moment where, I guess, now that the actual party is happening, some of the guys from the warehouse come up and Roy is talking to Pam, and because Pam ends up with the iPod, so we kind of see, like, the map of where, like, the iPod goes to a whole bunch of different people, the teapot's moving around to a whole bunch of different people, and Roy reveals to Pam, like, oh good, I don't have to get you anything for Christmas now, because I was going to get you an iPod, and now you have one. And she's like, well, what are you going to get me instead? And he's like, I don't know, like a sweater or something. And Pam is just like, really? Like, that really stinks. You know, like, he's so, I don't know. Like, how do you feel about this whole situation? Like, it's crap. Like, he's not a good boyfriend.
No.
Fiance. Like,
no. Yeah, of course. I mean, people probably know by now how we both feel about Roy. Yeah. He's terrible. And
well, in contrast to Jim's crazy thoughtful gift that he had prepared for Pam, Roy's gift has no thought in it whatsoever.
Yeah. If that's like, it's sort of one of those, it was at the top of the Sears catalog for that year, that, like, you know, the 12 gifts to get your significant other or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like this, and then some sort of iPod device, and then other things that are on the list. And then when that goes away, whenever he decides he doesn't have to get that anymore, then it's just like, oh, I don't know, I'll just think of something off the top of my head. And you see Pam like, really? That's all the thought you're going to put into it? And mm-hmm. we're like, really, Roy? That's all the thought you're going to put into it? But none of us, including Miss Pam, should be surprised, because Roy is only ever himself, and we should just know that he's going to always disappoint us.
mm-hmm. And always disappoint Pam. But I feel, again, she makes good decisions. She's making a good decision again in this episode, where we find out later on, she's kind of looking down at her desk and Jim comes over and starts talking to her. And we find out that she traded back for the teapot. So
yes,
Pam has the teapot. She tells Jim that she has it back. So Dwight has the iPod, and obviously that was the only thing that was going to get that teapot out of Dwight's hands, because he has set on making it a neti pot. Jim couldn't even buy it from him. And so Pam puts it up on the ledge of her desk and shows Jim, and Jim reveals that there's other stuff in it, and they go through it together, and she's laughing, and she remembers all the little things, and she has the same sentimental value for these objects that Jim did, you know. And you hear like, oh wow, you kept this, or I can't believe this is from this, or, and he even says to her, oh good, you remember that. And it's just a wonderful moment. As she's distracted, Jim takes the note out of the box and puts it into his pocket.
Yes.
I know. Big moment right here.
And we should note, too, that this is in contrast. I mean, the thing that gets Pam to trade the iPod is Roy comes up to the office and immediately starts talking to Daryl and sort of cuts Pam out of the conversation. They're both talking about sports. Roy's no longer paying any attention to Pam. And so we see, like, this, she sort of has this moment where, like, wow, there is this person who I care about, who clearly cares about me and shows me in every possible way that they care about me. And then there's Roy, who clearly right now has no intention of paying any attention to me. And like, I should, what would make me happy is making that person that cares about me happy. So I'm going to go trade this away. And like, I don't, you know, Roy sort of set himself up in that way, because he just shows her time and time again that he doesn't really care about her. It's sort of the idea of the thing, just having someone that's his fiance rather than it actually being him caring about her. But yes, Jim, I don't know if it's because of the way that it ended up happening, where it passed through all these different hands, like it was enough time for him to second guess himself or what.
Mm-hmm, but probably, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it was too, is like, if it would have happened earlier, then there's nothing he could have done, but he had time to second guess himself and he pulled it out. And so she does not see what it is.
I love how the camera grabs that moment too. And we see this wonderful moment after she opens up the gift and they have their time together exploring all the little trinkets inside. And she's in the confessional with the camera. And she is also kind of glossy eyed and teary eyed and mm-hmm. in a happy way this time. And she says, you know, that she made the right choice. And I can't help but hear that this choice is in reference to Jim. You know, it's in reference to the gift. It's the gift, but it also has that subtext about Jim and about supporting someone you care about. And all of that juicy hidden meaning is behind that phrase. And it's really good and satisfying. So yeah, let's get wild.
Yeah. The rest of this episode is just people getting wild. I mean, we see, Michael calls Ryan the king of the party planning committee, which of course angers Angela.
Oh, Angela's having the worst day.
She's having the worst day. And in fact, it goes on when Kelly decides randomly to kiss Dwight. So mm-hmm. we cut to a scene of Angela screaming and throwing, like Christmas tree baubles down on the ground and breaking them, which is just a fantastic. I have to say, I really love that moment. It's hilarious.
I do. I love that little cutaway moment where we see her in the parking lot throwing ornaments and smashing them. Because she's just her day. I think when I was reading a little bit about this episode, every week I kind of try and read tiny little bits to get maybe some points of trivia or something extra that I didn't quite pick up. But I was reading that someone's analysis of this episode, or might have been even in a DVD extra, was saying that Phyllis's day slowly gets better as Angela's day gets worse, you know. Yeah. And they kind of like pass each other in their feelings during this whole entire day. But drunky drunk party brings out all kinds of crazy in everybody, huh?
Yes.
I mean, Packer shows up, he's drunk already, and he's his typical self. And so we see this contrast between the beginning part of the day where everyone's hurt and despondent and discouraged and just having a crummy Christmas to just being like wild drunk. And I guess that is a result of all of those negative feelings. Everyone was just trying to feel better. And I guess they walk away that they do, you know,
yeah,
most people
yeah, they,
probably had a good day.
Well, yeah, enough to where they,
in the end,
yeah, they end up inviting Michael to go to Poor Richard's. And so it clearly, yes. like he didn't walk away being as terrible as he started the day being, and enough to where he got an invite, which is a big deal. And
again, we see him accepted for yes. a second, you know, like when he gets a, he was surprised. He's surprised himself. Like he was surprised that he was invited.
It was very
like,
sweet really, too. Me? Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, like he's super chill about it because he's finally accepted. He doesn't need to perform anymore. And we saw that in the last episode. As soon as he gets accepted into the group, he can chill out. But it's that initial part of like him trying to be accepted that is just, oh, it's just so much. And he does terrible things.
Yeah. And he lets Daryl be Santa Claus. And mm-hmm. then as they're about to leave for Poor Richard's.
Oh, I wasn't even going to say this, but go for it, man.
Meredith comes into his office and removes her blouse or her cardigan or whatever it is that she's wearing and flashes Michael. And Michael mm-hmm. takes a photo of it. Because as you'll remember, when he first brought money into Angela and the rest of the party planning committee, he said that he wanted people make it out in closets and taking off their shirts and all this other stuff. And Meredith made that happen. And then,
thanks, Meredith, yeah, for delivering.
Thanks for making the whole party like go full circle. But then yeah. they go to Poor Richard's.
Yeah, but it becomes a big part of Meredith's character. So I think it is worthy to say it on the show because she ends up doing lots of different things. And this is kind of the first of the worst moments of Meredith. This is just Meredith. Now we know that this is who she is. She has very drunk at office parties and removes her clothes. So good job, Mare.
That wraps it up though, right?
All right. Yeah. And this week, so we have our Dundies, of course, like usual. And this week is a holiday special Dundee, I feel like, which I want to give the holiday gift shop award out to a vendor, store, person. Yeah. I'm not sure.
All of the above.
Yeah. It's Midnight Dogs, and they're Midnight Dogs on Twitter. And they offer some really rad office-inspired enamel pins, along with a whole bunch of other stuff. And Micah and I have the sweet little Dundee pins, and I have the very subtle, awesome Vance Refrigeration badge, which I think comes to play in this episode, which is excellent. And so if you have a super fan of The Office in your life, or you are a super fan, Midnight Dogs is kind of a cool place for some neat little trinkets. Totally go check them out. They're not a sponsor or anything. They just got this Dundee. So congratulations to Midnight Dogs, and accept your Dundee for us for your awesome office inspired merchandise that we love to enjoy. And I think other people should enjoy too.
Yes. Yes, you should. And Midnight Dogs says that they're working on more office pins, so stay posted for that. That would be really awesome to collect new ones.
Cool. Very cool.
Well, that is going to wrap it up for us. Of course, those of you out there who are listening, we thank you so much for listening. We do keep our eye out in Apple Podcasts for reviews and ratings. So if you head into the Apple Podcasts app and leave a review, we will see those. And occasionally we'll award some of you a Dundee for your very own. You can also follow us on Twitter at @tall_beats. You can send us links and stuff there. You can chat with us. And if you're really wanting to get involved, you can become a sponsor of The Incomparable. And by doing so, you get access to a members only Slack where we have our own channel called Somehow I Manage. So you can hang out with us there as well. So all of those ways you can get in touch with us. And we thank you so much, but it is time to say goodbye, and we will see you in the office next week.
I want to give you a Dundee for being profeshy-fesh with your with your closing outreach. Like, I stumble like a crazy person, and you're just like, oh, here's all the information. Bam!
But I think it's because I have to do so many podcasts each week. I just have too many podcasts. So it's just like sort of blah, blah, blah. I don't have to, I don't know. What is that called? It's not wisdom. It's
experience.
Practice, I guess. Yeah. Experience.
Yep. Well,
yeah.
Here you go. Special mini Dundee to Micah.
Yay,
for being super profesh.
Hello world. This is my mini Dundee.